Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. For in my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He's my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. Here's a central verse, literally, of the Bible. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Remember that verse from last week? Here it is again. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim that the Lord what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Flashing blue lights convey a message, don't they? Flashing blue lights. If you're driving along, the flashing blue lights say, get out of the way. To the driver, get out of the way. But to the needy, help is on its way. I don't know what your experience of the help of the emergency services has been over the years. Personally, I was relieved to see flashing lights when my wife fell down the stairs. Sorry, dear. She was in a lot of pain. I was absolutely useless. Helpless. What do you do? What a relief to have first the flashing lights arrive outside the manse, and then the professionals, the experts come in and do what they're trained to do. I was thinking about this question and thinking over the years, well, I've been thankful for the police on more than one occasion. Car breakdown people, the RAC, even beach patrol as a young lad running along a beach in Devon. I got completely lost my bearings, lost which way was which. And so to have a rescue, to be rescued, is, you know, something that I guess all of us have known in some way or another. When it comes to being rescued, is it better to know the danger you're in or not? They say ignorance is bliss, but when you're on the precipice of something, perhaps it is better to at least, you know not to go on any further. The message of Christmas from God is one of hope. Help is on its way. Christmas is the blue lights flashing before action is taken for relief and safety to be experienced. I mentioned last Sunday the potential of renaming Christmas. Having seen what went on in the square for an hour this afternoon, I'm getting more and more of that persuasion. It came about because I read an article in a local paper while I was away. And because of the person writing the article's church tradition, they were arguing that we call it the Festival of the Nativity and start again. Christmas, you can have Christmas here, but we're going to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Festival of the Nativity, which sounds rather grand. But I mentioned to you last Sunday evening, I would prefer Saviour's Day. Because, and this is the major reason, it would be good for us as church to be able to say to people, are you celebrating Saviour's Day this year? What a lead-in that would be, evangelistically. Saviour's Day? Never heard of that. What's that about? And then we could tell them of our Lord. We'd certainly get people thinking, talking about Jesus, putting our Saviour and his work at the heart of this time of year. Because the world has submerged the real meaning, hasn't it, of Christmas in a tide of meaningless triviality. Seems to me there are three different camps at Christmas. This one, the first one I mentioned, is actually seemingly growing. The natural Christmas. Snow. It's got to be snow. Whether it's fired from a machine in the square, you've got to have snow. Now, the rest of the year, we don't like snow, but at Christmas, we've got to have snow, though we hardly have any ever at that time of year anyway. Reindeer, polar bears. The rest of the year, well, particularly with the polar bears, there's not many of them left. But it's all a focus on the natural world. Robins. What is it with robins? They're around all year. What's so special? Penguins with hats on. Oh, come on. Natural Christmas. Of course, there's the traditional Christmas. All things Charles Dickens. There's a film out at the moment. The Man Who Invented Christmas is the title. Really? No, it's not about our Lord and Saviour. Charles Dickens? Well, the spiritual has become secularized. The traditions that had spiritual backing to them are now just empty traditions. The meanings have been lost by and large. And then there's the camp I hope you're in this Christmas, the supernatural Christmas. God with us. Come to save us. We have it in the carols. You have it in a nativity play and scene. But even they are difficult to find, apart from in the Christian bookshop. Walk up and down the streets and you get lots of the natural. You get the traditional. But where is the supernatural? Now, those who tolerate the supernatural, all things churchy, Well, they try and merge. They try and put us in the box with the traditional. You fit in here. You do things that they did in the 18, 1900s. So that's you. But we're not a historical society, are we? We serve a risen Saviour who's in the world today. There's a little book that's come out. It's written by a man called Carl Lafferton. It's a very helpful book, produced by the Good Book people who put out some good things at Christmas. And this one's called Rescuing Christmas. And it's got a picture on the front of a penguin caught up in Christmas lights, staggering along. And that's just about how it is, isn't it? Christmas needs rescuing. We all do, because that's what Christmas is about. It's about rescue. It's about salvation. That is what it's about. And when we see that, and when we remember that, everything else is secondary. Now, I enjoy eating Christmas food. I enjoy, you know, all the things, the good things that go with it. But at its heart, God with us, not as an experiment, but God with us to save us, is what it's about. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, is how Paul wrote to Timothy. It wasn't a Christmas card greeting, but it might as well have been. Happy Christmas, Timothy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, over the next few weeks, and we don't want to peek too early on this, it is only the first Sunday in Advent, but you'll be reminded of what you know, of those events that led up to the first Christmas. And I want just to flag up for you, so in the next few weeks you see it clearly, how salvation is spoken of again and again in the build-up and indeed after the birth of our Lord. For example, the angel who gives instructions to Joseph, you are to call him Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Those were the instructions Joseph received. God works in mysterious ways. Think of what Joseph went through. For that matter, what Mary went through. But it was all part of God's plan, a plan of salvation. He was given very clear instructions about the baby in Mary's womb, very clear instructions about the name, and it was underlined for us from the very beginning, he'll save his people from their sins. This is what it's about. The mission is a salvation mission. Later, you remember the shepherds out in the fields. A myriad of angels were seen by them. And the message again came to them. Today in the city of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. They were unclean shepherds, you remember. Unreliable witnesses. That's how they were in the eyes of the people, but not in the eyes of God. Because they were chosen to be the first to hear of the Saviour. And they were so keen to see for themselves and spread the word concerning Jesus. So in Joseph's instructions and the shepherd's announcement, salvation is right at the top of the agenda. This is what it is about. And even Mary, as she came to terms with the shock of giving birth to the Messiah, the Son of God, she would sing in her song, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. For this is what it's about. Now it says her spirit rejoices in God, literally jumps for joy. As she considers the child in her womb and the impact upon the world. Now, you hear us speak much of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. You hear many things that we say. He is a healer. He is a teacher. He is a prophet. He is a priest. He is a king. But I was going to say most of all, but perhaps best of all for us, he is our Saviour. Because without him, we are nothing. Without him, there is no hope. Without him, there's no rescue. Nothing for us eternally, if not for Jesus coming into this world the way he did. He's a Saviour from sin. He dealt with our sin. Now, I say it like that, but there may be somebody here this evening who's not yet put their faith and trust in him. And you may still be sitting on your sin, as it were. But he came to die to take away your sin. The Bible is very clear that sin separates from God. We could not ourselves be reconciled to God any other way. No sacrifices, no offerings, no good works, no nothing can bridge that gap. Sin separates, and sin needed to be dealt with and removed to open that way for us. I remember a few years ago, it was quite a few years ago now, we were talking about the Channel Tunnel and how that was opened up and how the tunnel machinery went through. And bit by bit, step by step, taking out the debris from the tunnel and putting in the surround to the tunnel to protect it. We're seeing the same thing, aren't we, with the cross rail line at the moment from east to west London. Making a connection from one side of the capital to the other. And through the cross, through Jesus coming into this world, a way has been made. A way forward for us to be reconciled to God. And the rubble is having to be removed. The rubble of our sin laid upon him. He's a Saviour from sin. Now, of course, we today dress sin up in all sorts of ways. It's kind of, people don't like to admit doing wrong, lifestyle choice or whatever else, put a different label on it. But God has declared what is sin in his word. And that's what we are all guilty of, because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. So we all need the rubble removing. And Jesus has come to connect us, to reconcile us to the Father. We have a Saviour from sin, so that we can know our sins forgiven, all that has gone on in the past, and indeed the sins that occasionally will crop up in the future. Those sins all forgiven at Calvary. But he had to come as that babe at Bethlehem and be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He's a Saviour from sin. He's a Saviour from self. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, I need help with this. And they really just want Jesus to sort of, as a kind of bolt-on add-on to their life. Just to sort of, you know, they've got their life and they're living their life. But just a little problem here. I just need him to assist. But that's not what the Christian faith's about. We give our lives to him. He gave his life for us on the cross, and we give our lives to him. He's a Saviour from self. He's dealing with us, not just in the past, but in our present situation. The Apostle Paul put it this way, "The life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The life I live. Died to himself and now was living a new life. Living for the Lord. More than that. Living by faith in the Lord in everything that he was involved in and going through. That's what we want. That's the Christian life. That's how it should be. And we have God's Spirit within us, as we believe, to keep us from our old ways and to guide us in the new ways. Jesus is a saviour from self. He's a saviour too with regard to the future, not just the present and the past, but what is to come. A saviour from the wrath to come. He'll deal with the future for us. He'll take care of that for us as our faith and trust is in him. He's taken up my sin and your sin, if you're a believer this evening, upon himself. He's been judged for that sin so that we need not be judged for it. And so I read to you from John 3:16, that lovely verse. But I don't know about you, I think John 3:17 and 18 are pretty good as well. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. From time to time on a local news, you hear of ambulance driver shortages and the lottery. Will an ambulance turn up or not, depending on where you are? We're not so bad in this area, I don't think, but in rural areas, it's more difficult. And there was a time when they were saying, well, we can't guarantee we can cover this. We can't guarantee we'll get there in time. I said, salvation is the blue lights. The Lord will get there. The Lord does get there. But he doesn't come just to sort of patch us up. He makes us new, doesn't he? Sin is not a flesh wound that we carry that will be just dealt with in a little way. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, when the blue lights are on, humanly speaking, as they're driving along, they're coming to rescue, to keep life. But the spiritual blue lights give life. There's no life in us without Jesus, without faith and trust in him. But where we do believe, where we have put our faith and trust in him, he gives us new life. As I say, some people say, well, I need Jesus to help me in this and that and the other. But no, we live through him, it says. He came into the world to save the world through him. What an amazing God we have, that he would come to us in this way. That he would come to those who were his enemies, because that's what we were in our rebellion and sin. What an incredible, amazing God. So gracious, so merciful. For God so loved the world. Literally, the word is cosmos, universe. That's how big God's heart is. That's his love. But it had to be through Jesus, because sin had to be dealt with for us and had to be dealt with once and for all. We have a Saviour who has done a complete work. He is able to save us to the uttermost, says the Authorized. Completely, says the NIV. He's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. We have a Saviour who's committed to us, who will stick with us through thick and thin, sent into this world to save us, but then not to stand back and just watch with arms folded, but to be with us, to help us, and see us through eternally. What a message we have. What a message we have for this world with its natural Christmas or its tacky traditional Christmas. What a message we have here. Saviour. The Saviour has come. He'll save his people from their sins. If it's such good news, then why do so many ignore it? Why do so many reject it? Well, sadly, in John 3, it tells us men love darkness. Men fear light. That's a strange one, isn't it? You normally think of fearing darkness and what goes on in darkness. But actually, those in the darkness fear the exposure of coming into the light. Because God is holy and pure and perfect, coming from sin into the light, it's an uncomfortable business. It means admitting our faults, our failings, the evil within us. Men in their darkness have not comprehended it, says John, have not understood it. I trust you have understood it. If we go into Christmas together, that you'll see, yes, this is what my Saviour has done. And I want to walk in the light. I want to be in as close to him, where he is, doing what he wants to do. I want that light to shine. For to us who have the message and have believed, we are to be faithful. Faithful in the light. As it says there in John 3:21. So that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. It's not us. It's not me in my Sunday best. It's certainly not me thinking I'm any better than anybody else. That's not the case at all. It's just knowing what he has done for me as my Saviour. Knowing God's grace and wanting to share that with others. In recent weeks, we've looked at how the Lord is our lamp and our strength, and last week, our song. Within that reading in Psalm 118, I made reference to that verse that comes again and again, well, at least three times in Scripture, about he's my salvation, my song, my strength, my salvation. It says, surely God is my salvation. He has become my salvation. And just those two phrases tell me something about salvation, that it is a developing thing. Tonight, give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Give him your sins. Let him take those away from you, because he died for that. But salvation begins there. And develops. He has become my salvation, it says. As I go on in life and experience more, I'm realizing he saves me from this, he saves me from that, he saves me from myself and my own stupid decisions. Salvation is a developing experience. The Bible is very clear. We are saved if we believe. We are being saved. And we will be saved on that final day. Wherever you look on the journey, salvation is there if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He has become my salvation. How personal, how precious to know that. Saviour's Day. His birth was the beginning. Contact made. Blue lights flashing. Help is on its way. His death, the means of our salvation. It had to be that way. His resurrection confirms our salvation. As we were saying on Tuesday night, death cannot hold him. It was impossible for death to keep hold of him because he dealt with death. Or he dealt with sin that led to death. This is our Saviour. And as we journey on week by week, longing for his return, singing this advent of his second advent, his second coming, he's with us by his Spirit. He's with us through his word. This is where we find that salvation plan. Here we find all the promises that he makes. Do you remember the woman at the well? You remember the story about how she was ostracized from the villagers and she was there drawing water at a strange time so she wouldn't avoid, she would avoid others. And she meets with Jesus and Jesus explains who he is and what he can do for her. And she believes. And then she goes and she tells others, those who'd ostracized her, presumably. She just reaches out to them and says, I found the Messiah, this is the one. Come and see for yourself. It says in John chapter 4 and verse 42, that the Samaritans, who were the group she was speaking to, said this in the end, we've heard for ourselves, because they listened to Jesus, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world. What an incredible conclusion to come to. What a testimony. It's recorded there in John 4, verse 42. They listened and they believed. Now, of course, Jesus had not been to the cross at Calvary and died for their sins, but they'd heard what he'd said and they knew he'd come to rescue them. As we hear week by week from God's word, and as we believe, more importantly, not just hear, but believe what we hear, we are being saved. You know, every time you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do this your way, you're being saved from the pull and the peril of this world. Just like those Samaritans, they didn't know everything, they didn't understand everything, but they were willing to say, yes, he's the Saviour of the world. Well, we can go further than that. We can say he's my Saviour, my Jesus, my Saviour. The Apostle Paul writes to Philip, the church at Philippi, and he says to them, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let us never take for granted this book. Everything that we read that the Lord says to us through it, let us hear it, let us believe it, because it's part of his saving process of us in life. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We can't add to it. It's all what he has done for us. But with reverence and awe, as we think on that, as we hear it, and we remind ourselves of it, he keeps us. So put very simply, for my time is gone, keep hearing God's word. Keep believing. Keep hearing, keep believing. The world at large is trying to deafen us with all sorts of nonsense at this time of year. Keep hearing. Hear again and again how Jesus came into this world. Marvel that he came and did it for you. Keep believing, holding on to that hope. Not just that he came and died for you, but that he's coming again, because that's part of the deal. This Christmas, let us focus on our Saviour. Let us proclaim the good news to those around us. Let's say to those who have a natural Christmas, look, there's more to it than polar bears and snow. These things are passing. These things are temporary. They might look nice on pictures, but let me tell you something eternal that comes from Christmas, not these passing, fleeting things. And for those who look back to the traditions, let's say to them, look, there's something for today and for tomorrow. It's not just a cuddly look back into the past. We can face the future because of who Jesus is and what he's done. This Christmas, let us rejoice in our salvation.